Good morning to everyone. I thought the shir is going to be packed today because this is the first time, I believe, in 9 years there was no parking outside. I had to literally wait till someone got out of their parking space. And don't mix me up with the fact that there's a bris downstairs. If I want your opinion, as Rav Rakefet says, I'll give it to you. Gentlemen, I am late for another reason. It's because of a cell phone. I'm driving here. A lady in front of me is driving very slow. I don't know why. She's driving extremely slow, 10 kilometers, and you can't pass her. It's very dangerous. So finally, the opportunity comes up, and I pass her. And what is she doing? She's reading her cell phone. She's literally one hand on the wheel, one hand reading her cell phone. And it was amazing to me that you can do that on the road because it's dangerous. But quite frankly, this shear started because of a cell phone. As everybody knows, in the world we live in today, the cell phone becomes more important than human beings. How do I know I'm right? Because many a times, I'm sure you had this, you're talking to someone, and as you're talking to them, the phone buzzes. Now, if you would have asked me at 2 o'clock in the morning, what's more important? Excuse me for the saying, what trumps what? A human being you're talking to, or a machine that you can actually call back? I would have said the human being, but not that the way it is today. Everybody knows, you're listening to a shir, you're talking to someone personally, the cell phone rings, you look at your cell phone. That's always more important than anything. It's like, bikuach nefesh doche et kol ha-torah kula, cell phone, everything goes by the wayside.
It could be
bikuach nefesh. If it is bikuach nefesh, everything I just said is not relevant. But suffice it to say that I think, Bruce, you would admit that not every phone call you get is pikuach nefesh. And not every WhatsApp has to be returned at that moment. And not every person that calls is that vital to your existence. So the situation is as follows. Everybody knows we're in winter, at least on the calendar. Unfortunately, not yet in the atmosphere. And therefore, we start the cutoff time for mincha is rather early. But there are shuls that still maintain a mincha ma'ariv, and therefore even in the winter months, they have mincha. However, the difference between winter and summer is, in summer, people come home from work, and around 7 o'clock, they go to mincha, and they can go to ma'ariv. But in the winter, it goes back to 4, sometimes 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And this was the situation. I was davening mincha in a place, there was 9 people, and then the 10th man came in, and one man walked out. Favus. Why did one man walk out? He was already there. He got a phone call. So Bruce, maybe it was pikuach nefesh, I don't know, but the truth is he came in about 2 minutes later, like 3 minutes later, and everybody's looking at him, and he's looking at them, and he doesn't understand what the problem is. After mincha, before ma'ariv, he walks out again, he gets another phone call, and this time he doesn't come back. So maybe he's not planning to daven ma'ariv, but he could have fooled me because there was a waiting time, and he actually waited. But he went out right before ma'ariv. And he's outside talking on his cell phone. So someone in the room said, let's take him in by force, and he can talk in here. At least we'll have a minyan. And another guy says, you're not allowed to force people to do mitzvot. So this was a throwback to another story that happened this year. It was a Friday night in the winter as well. You know, Friday nights in the winter are tough. You got to get in mincha, as we discussed many times, before what? No, before what? Before shkia plus a little bit, because you need to do Tosefes Shabbos. Preferably, that's the way it should be. So, it's an early mincha, and there is 9 people in the room and 2 people talking outside. One of the two was a son of someone inside. Father number one says to father number two, your son's outside. If he comes in, we'll get a minyan. He'll go, I'll go ask him. He goes, ask him, comes in empty-handed. So he said, force him to come in. To which a gentle, he said, you know how to force people to do mitzvot. So I, with my mind, cynically say, actually, it's the opposite. Why don't we force him? They all looked at me. I all looked at them. 10th man came in. We daven mincha. So I never had to answer the question. But now I would like to answer the question. Where do I come off saying you can force people to do mitzvot? I thought you're supposed to inspire and influence and bechira chofshis and everything else, freedom of choice. How do I get off saying force him?
Mm-hmm. No, but there's no mitzvah yet. You just brought him in the room. When he davens, you can force him to daven. You're forcing him to stand in the room.
Why not force him to daven? Why not force him to daven? Okay. Why don't we force people to daven? Why don't we force people to put on tefillin? Force people to shake a lulav? Force people to hear the shofar? Why not? Now I'll tell you why not, because everyone, in my whole life, everyone said to me, you have to inspire, influence, etc. There's freedom of choice. Actually, the assumption of this shir is, no, you're a lot of force. Now let's find out why we don't.
You can, for example, if somebody doesn't divorce his wife. You can force him to divorce his wife.
Harold, we'll get to that. We're coming up to it. But it starts not with the divorce of the wife. It starts far beforehand. Everybody knows at the beginning of Vayikra, there is a pasuk on the top of the source sheet that says, Imola korbano min habakar. The pasuk continues, you have to sacrifice the sacrifice, lirtzono lifnei Hashem. What's lirtzono?
Willingly.
However, it says, yakrivoto. You shall sacrifice it. Not option, but obligation. Says the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the Torah Shebaal Peh explains, how come in the same pasuk it says, lirtzono, willingly, and yakrivoto against his will, yakrivoto, melamed, shekofinoto. He doesn't want to bring a korban, you tie him up, you put his hands there, and he brings the korban. Melamed, shekofinoto. Yachol ba'al korcho, so you all asked around this question, around this table, Bruce said you can't force him to daven. What, you're allowed to force him to bring the korban? Lirtzono, haketzat. So how exactly is it willingly and by force? The Gemara says, kofinoto achi omar rotzeani. Harold, you want to translate? Because that's what you just quoted.
That's what I said, that you force him until he says, I want to do it.
Correct. You force him until he says, I want to do it. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. In Maseches Yevamos, Daf Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, it also says something very simple. Chalitza mu'useit v'get mu'useh, zimnin kosher v'zimnin pasul. If you have a get that was given by force, sometimes it's kosher. Oh, that's interesting. The Gemara says, Hada amar rotzeani, hada lo amar rotzeani. If he says, I want to do it even by force, it's okay. If he doesn't say, I want to do it, it's a forced get, not kosher. So Harold says, hey, if there's a chiyuv, an obligation to give a get, and you don't give the get, force him. So according to these two Gemaras, Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Maseches Yevamos, you force with a caveat. You force, but what's the caveat? Eventually, he has to say, I want to do it. Now, between you and me and the walls, if you take someone, you tie him up, you start beating him to death, and then he says, okay, I'll do it. I don't know how much that's willingly. But it seems from these Gemaras, he has to at least say, yes, I want to, because I don't want to die here. That's okay. But he has to say, I want to. However, look on the left side of the source sheet, you'll see something else. Maseches Ksubos, Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph, Aval B'mitzvot Asei, Kegon She'omlin Lo Aseh Sukkah, Ve'ino Oseh, Lulav Ve'ino Oseh. You say, build a sukkah, I don't want to. Shake a lulav, buy a lulav, don't want to. What does the Gemara say? Maseches Ksubos, Makinoto, achetetze nafsho. You don't want to do a mitzvah? We'll beat you to death. Now, you have two choices. This is the famous story of, I always forget, the Nodebi Yehuda or the Shagas Aryeh. The Nodebi Yehuda or the Shagas Aryeh had a husband that refused to give a get. I'm sure you've heard of these situations. So he quoted to him the Mishnah at the beginning of Maseches Kiddushin, where it says explicitly that a woman becomes divorced in one of two ways. What are the two ways?
Get
or mitatabal. So he told this lovely man, take your choice. The man just walked away, probably spit in his face. 2 days later, he died. No, tzadik omer v'kadosh baruch hu goes there. Now, even if that story is not true, it's what people believe. Who did you hear about?
Rabbi
Akiva Eiger. It could have been Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Okay. So I stand corrected. Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So the Gemara in Ksubos says explicitly, this is what you do. A person is obligated to do mitzvot. When does the person become enjoined, or to be more precise, exempt from doing mitzvot?
When he's dead.
So what do? You tell him, do mitzvot, you have no right to live. So unlike the Gemara on the left side, Rosh Hashanah and Yevamos, which says, well, at least he has to say, I want to, this Gemara is very simple. You're on this world to do mitzvot. You don't want to do mitzvot, you're out of the world. So, these are the two sources, and now we have to find out how do we go. But all these sources agree with one thing. You force someone to do mitzvot. You don't just inspire, you don't just influence, you don't just educate, and you can continue to say the big words that makes a rabbi show off. You know, a rabbi has to know from time to time to use a big word so the congregation says he's a scholar. But what did he say? He's such a scholar, I didn't understand. A good rabbi always makes sure he puts in a big word from Webster's dictionary that no one knows, so they make him look big. But according to these Gemaras, don't use big words. Force a person to do mitzvot. That's what he's here for. That's ultimately what three Gemaras I just quoted say to do. Two Gemaras say, well, he has to say, I want to, when you beat him to death. But the other one says, just beat him up till he does a mitzvah. If he dies on the way, no problem.
Are we the Beitin, or is we
We'll get to that. Who is the forcer? We'll get to it. So, the question is, how do we force people to do mitzvot in a world of freedom of choice?
If someone's doing another mitzvah concurrent, can they always just say, listen, I'd love to, but I can't, because I'm involved in this mitzvah. So in effect, the force...
You're really asking that question?
If someone's doing another mitzvah, and you like to force them in...
Bruce, you want to answer the question? We're not talking about someone that doesn't have to do mitzvot because he's involved in another mitzvah. That's playing by the rules. We're talking about someone that doesn't play by the rules. I don't want to do it. So according to this, no problem. You want to go ahead and make a minyan in a cemetery, and you see someone walking, and you say, can you join us for a minyan? He says, I absolutely do not want to join you for a minyan, because I don't believe in God, and I hate the religious parties, etc., etc. You don't have a government because of the religious parties, etc., etc. According to these Gemaras, no problem. Tie him up, bring him over, because that's what you're supposed to do. The question is, why? And now when we see the reasons in the Rishonim and the Achronim, perhaps we'll get some knowledge as to why this is true.
If he says he davened already, can you say, okay, listen, we need 10 guys, and you kind of like schlep him in?
Yeah, it's chesed, so maybe according to Bruce, not only mitzvot, I say in this case, but even chesed. Don't know. But let's talk about mitzvot, I say. A guy just want to build a sukkah, you force him to build a sukkah, and if he doesn't want to, you beat him to death. So I'd like to thank Rav Rafi Kadosh, who was a rabbi here in Efrat. He gave a wonderful class on this topic to our rabbis in training. I loved the class. Many of the sources I'm going to quote is from him. I'll say it in my language, and as you can hear from the New York accent. But I give him a lot of credit. He put it all together beautifully and coherently. And I then changed it into my format. So, having said that caveat that I got it all from him, the Chavos Yair. You heard of the Chavos Yair? Rav Yair Bachrach was a rabbi, one of the early Achronim, wrote many books. One of them is this particular responsum. And he says like this, Gabelo ta'asei mikati lo avar, afil mavakesh la'asato avichaser ma'aseh. V'dilma yachzor bo im yitrubo. V'im yavor yikabel ancho. If a person wants to do an avera, he wants to eat pig. He hates the Jewish people, he hates God, he hates the religious parties. He wants to eat non-kosher. And he goes up to a shelf that says, pig. Chazir, treif, and he takes it, and he eats it, and turns out to be kosher. Did he do an Avera? Did he do an Avera because he wanted to do one? No. You can think all you want about, I want to kill this guy. I want to take revenge on that one. You can think about it. You can't, if you don't do it, no harm done. As the saying goes, sticks and stones might break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Words, thoughts, no problem. If you don't eat the treif meat, machshava ra'a, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarf al
ha'maise. Did he make a bracha?
I don't know if he wants to eat pig. I'm not so sure that's what he was worried about. Masha'en ken, says the Chavos Yair b'mitzvot asei, b'yeshivato batel, over. If God says, put on tefillin, and you don't, passive, I'm not putting on, I'm not saying anything, I'm just not putting it on. But the minute you say that, that's what we call a bitul mitzvat aseh. You're obligated to put on tefillin every day, you refuse to. That, in and of itself, is wrong. It's not thoughts, it's sitting passively, which is wrong. So unlike prohibitions, if you don't do it, no harm done. Maybe it's bad to think that way. Maybe it's not the Jewish way of thinking about things. Revenge, killing, murdering. But no harm done. On the other hand, when there's an actual commandment to do something, and you don't do it, then it's wrong. If your wife says, take out the garbage, and you don't say yay or nay, you just sit there. Will your wife get mad at you? Of course she will. The garbage is still in the house. So if God says, put on tefillin, and you don't, you just sit there. Don't say nothing. Here, passive. You're doing something wrong. That's what the Chavos Yair says. That's how we come. We can force people to do mitzvah sase. Lo tase, they do it, they get a punishment. They don't do it, no problem. Well, no, mitzvah dase, the very fact that you do nothing means you're doing something. What are you doing? You're doing something wrong. Yeah.
I assume that it doesn't make a difference, but does it matter if it's the Rabbanon or the Yoraisa?
For the sake of this shir, probably not. But in the Rabbanans, we're actually more machmir. Okay, a makat mardut is not 39 lashes. A makat mardut is according to one day until you kill him. According to the other day is ad v'lo ad b'chal. He almost dies. Okay?
Okay.
The Ramban says that's not the reason. Lachen mitzvot aseh gdola mitzvot lo taseh. Kemo she'ava gdola mi'ira. Ki ha'mikayem ve'oseh ve'gufo me'mano ratzon adonav, hu gadol me'anishma mi'asot ha'ra be'inav. V'lekach amru, da'at te'aseh ve'dachi lo taseh. So when it comes to prohibitions, 39 lashes, that's it. And in order to get that a punishment, what do you need? You need to have hatra'a. You need to say, I'm doing it anyway. It has to be in the right form. Oh, so many rules and regulations. How come here? Hey, you don't want to do a mitzvah? We'll beat you to death. How come it's so easy? Says the Ramban, because a mitzvah aseh is far greater than a mitzvah lo taseh. Why? Pure logic. God doesn't want you to eat pig. God doesn't want you to eat creepy crawlers on your lettuce. Fine. That's one level. On the other level, God says, I want you to put on tefillin. I want you to make a sukkah. I want you to listen to the sages who said, light a Hanukkah menorah. And you don't. What's worse? What's worse? Says the Ramban. Yira, awe, or fear, that's one level. But the higher level is ahava. Love. At a love of God, I'm making a bracha before I drink. Okay? I'm fearful of the punishment for stealing, so I won't steal. But ahava is more important than yira. And he gives a proof to what he says. We see this many a times. Aseh doche lo taseh. If you have a mitzvah aseh, say put on tzitzis with tcheles, and a mitzvah lo taseh, say of shatnes, aseh doche lo taseh. Therefore the Ramban says, this is what we can do. Much more than a prohibition. Because ahava is much better and trumps yira. Or to be more precise, not trumps, but is on a higher level.
Is the action in the vacuum, or I thought we have two kinds of levels of the mitzvah, just doing it, the Rav teaches this, or being involved and proper intention.
That's a shir unto itself. What should happen when we do a mitzvah?
Something is like a monkey.
For the sake of this shir, let's just say we have to force him to do the right thing. What he thinks about is not so important to us. For the sake of this shir. In general, we gave a whole year on that topic. Yeah. So therefore, I'm not going to do justice if I talk about it now. But suffice it to say that at this point, for this shir, just do the right thing. What you think about is not my business.
Because we learned earlier, if you have the right intention but don't do it, you still get credit somehow.
For a mitzvah aseh, correct. The Rambam doesn't agree with the Chavos Yair that says the beautiful, well, if I'm supposed to do something and I don't, that's wrong in and of itself. And the Ramban with Ava and Yira, he says something else. The Rambam in Perush HaMishnayos says, V'yadua sheyesh ladun lakof et ha'adam ha'matan ha'tzdaka, lefi shehu michlal mitzvot aseh, shechovah la'alkot et ha'adam ad sheyikayem ota ha'mitzvot aseh, shechal alav chiyuv asiyata ba'ota ba'et, ad sheyamot, v'zeh klal b'chol mitzvot aseh. So it seems like the Rambam takes the Gemara in Ksubos, and that's exactly where he writes his Perush, and says, why come in, it says that you can beat him until he dies? Because, very simple, when he's alive, he's supposed to do mitzvot. If he's alive and not doing mitzvot, he has no right to live. He lost his right to exist. He cannot justify his existence, and thus you beat him till he dies. So the Rambam sort of disagrees, but doesn't quote the two Gemaras where Kofinata Gemara Tzeani and Perush HaMishnayos. He takes the Gemara in Ksuvos and says, that's the reason, very simple. You're supposed to do the right thing. You don't, we'll force you. So, to sum up until now, gentlemen, forget about the reasons. We can force someone to do a mitzvah. Forget about influence, inspire, the words that start with I. Not part of this year. Okay? Here. You see this page? Why is it blank on the bottom? Nothing to add. Here, my whole life I thought you're supposed to influence, inspire, talk. No talk, no influence, no inspire. Force people. Now you have no problem with minyan. You no longer have problems with rebellious children. You no longer can write books off the derech. No such thing. What's the big deal? Force the people to do mitzvah. Finish the whole kiruv of the entire world. Take it. Bye-bye. Just force. Now we're going to turn the page and find out how come we don't do this today. How did the halacha change and we don't do this? Let's turn the page.
When you're beating someone until they die, are you over an avera when they die?
According to this, not. You're doing the right thing.
You're doing a mitzvah.
You're doing the right thing.
So I can walk around the street with a gun, point to the people's back, and say, give that man tzedakah.
Yep.
According to what you just heard.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
But wait a second. What if you know?
By the way, there's a Tosfos in Masechet Baba Basra that gives many reasons why in Stucca that has the reason for the mitzvah. And if you do it, this is what God's going to promise you. We paskin that in those kind of mitzvahs you can't force. But how come you can force someone to give tzedakah? And he gives four different reasons. So, absolutely, that's the case. It's mefurash in the Tosfos. Yeah.
What if you know in advance?
Yeah.
That X person is an atheist. And you're just wasting your breath trying to get him to play. So you ignore it.
Now we're getting to our conclusion. So why don't we do this today? Look at the Rambam. The Rambam is quoted, requoted every time you have a husband that unfortunately acts like a terrorist against his wife when they get divorced. He got married, as Rabbi Safran has said, like a Ben Torah. Rav Eliyahu Safran, a wonderful friend of mine, wrote two wonderful books. One is on the Parsha, Pearls of Wisdom. The other is on the Haggadah. Rabbi Safran says, people get married like B'nai Torah and get divorced like terrorists. So when they get divorced like terrorists, we all go out against them and we quote the Rambam. What does the Rambam say? If you happen to have a case where there's a chiyuv to give a get, not an option. He has to give a get. What's an example? Most of the cases it's not like this. What's the example that it is?
It's a wife beater.
No.
No?
She has an affair.
No, before the wife beater. She has an affair, okay. Correct.
You're
a Kohen married to someone that he's not allowed to be married. Let's take that example. A Kohen married to a Grusha. So, he has a Chiyuv to give a get.
I don't think we do force
it. So, says the Gemara.
We don't force them.
The children are
Hakidushin Tovsin, and therefore you have to force him to get divorced. Correct. If Hakidushin lo Tovsin, there wouldn't be a discussion. In Arayos, it doesn't Tovfist. Meaning, if I want to marry my sister, I can give her a ring from today to tomorrow. There's no Kiddushin. If I give a ring to a Grusha and I'm a Kohen, Kiddushin Tovsin. Meaning, they're married, and therefore we force him to get divorced.
Well, we ruin his kavuna for him.
Yes, but that's only a hakka derabanan. We want to force him to give a get. So, wife beater, we want to force him to give a get, and he doesn't give it. Makinata chiyomaro tseani. And this is one of the most beautiful Rambams I've ever seen, because the Rambam doesn't just give the law. He goes ahead and says, why? Velama lo batel get, areze onus. We all know that you can't give a get against your will. The pasuk says you have to be willing to give it. So the Rambam comes up and says, "Nah, he really wants to give it." The beautiful Rambam in Peru, he really wants to give a get. Why doesn't he give a get? A yetzer hara got in him and told him not to. It's like the person that says, "I want to get to shul on time. I want to get to shul on time," but he still stays home and he reads his emails. The person that says, I don't want to look at my phone when I'm driving. It's awful. Look, this person got killed. I can't do it. I won't look at my phone when I'm driving. He gets into the car, and he starts driving, and he looks at his phone. Well, I'll give you another example. A person says, I don't want to speed. I don't want to speed! And when they see the police car, they have to slow down. Why do they have to slow down? They really don't want to speed. But the yetzer hara gets into them to not get to davening on time, to look at their cell phone when they drive, to go ahead and speed. They really don't want. If you would have asked them, is it a mitzvah to speed? The answer would be absolutely not. Terrible, awful. Should you get a ticket? Get a ticket. It's wrong. Why do you do it then? We do things sometimes. That's why there's a Yom Kippur on the calendar. Rambam says, that's the situation. A Jew deep down wants to be a good Jew and do what God told him to do. The Yetzer Hara came in. For example, I want to eat kosher. It's the right thing to do. I advocate eating kosher, but the treif is more delicious. I don't advocate eating treif. It's more delicious. It's funner, much more fun to speed than to go by the speed limit. So if that's the situation, the person really wants to be a good Jew, but the Yetzer Hara, says the Avodat Gershuni on this Rambam, and I quote, Avodat Gershuni, anyone ever heard of him? Look on the bottom of the page, you see Rabbi Yitzchak Ashkenazi, Rabbi Gershon ber Rabbi Yitzchak, 1620, 1693. We're talking about Poland, the Bach, the Pnei Yehoshua. He's ultimately the Talmud, and he writes, V'lashon hazeh mashma, dafka mishu rotze liyot ki Yisrael, v'latzot kol ha-mitzvah. What does the Avodat Gershuni say? That whole Rambam is relevant for one person, a religious Jew that really wants to listen to the rabbis, to the Beis Din, to the Torah. But as was said, if you're an atheist, if you're a secular Jew that doesn't want to do what Jews are supposed to do, you're against it. This whole Rambam is not relevant. You can't beat a person to do what he doesn't want to do. But if a person really, truly wants to do the right thing, then there's no problem. For example, my father, Harini Kaparat Mishkavo, who I dedicate all my shiurim to, my father once got a ticket for parking in a handicapped spot. He was then an administrator of a hospital for handicapped children. He said, I looked at it, this was before cell phones, there was no lines on the road, there was no blue sign. I would never park in a handicapped spot. That's all I do all day, I take care of handicapped children. And I should get a ticket if I got it. I'll pay it with the hineni muchanu mezoman. But at that particular point, he said there was no signs. So indeed, they canceled the ticket. But you have to understand, this is not a person that went and says, I want to park in a handicapped spot. They don't deserve all these wonderful benefits, like parking close. A person wants to do the right thing, but what are you going to do? He's late for a shear. He parks in a handicapped spot. It almost happened to me today. All the handicapped spots are open downstairs. Mm-hmm. Believe me, a Yetzer Hara came in, let me just park there half an hour, no handicapped people will come. Then I start talking it into myself. Even if they come, there's a spot next to me. But Baruch Hashem, the Yetzer Hara said, I want to be parking in a handicapped spot. A person can't get out with a wheelchair? God forbid! But that's only if I want to do that thing. If I don't, if I want to speed, lechatchila. If I want to look at my cell phone, lechatchila. You can't say, okay, beat him up till he does the right thing. He doesn't want to do the right thing. He's an atheist. So this whole Rambam, let's just take anyone out there that's not a religious Jew, this whole Rambam is irrelevant. The Rambam is talking about someone that wants to do what God says.
I assume that you know the person's mindset when you go to force. If he says, listen.
Correct. You have to know the person. According to this Rambam, you're correct, and I added in your name, Bruce, that you have to know the person before you force, because maybe indeed this person... It's not a person that when you force him, he's saying, okay, I really want to do it. The Ramban, by the way, is a proof of what I said. You can only do it with people who are rebelling. Rebelling against lulav and tzitzis. But they're not rebelling. They're not rebelling. They're just not part of that world. They weren't educated that way. They're not part of that world. This whole Ramban, out. Yeah, but that's exactly what I'm saying. The Tinok Shenishba, basically this whole Rambam doesn't really, he doesn't know what God wants, a Tinok Shenishba. It's not that he's not doing it even though he knows it's the right thing to do. He doesn't know there's a speed limit. So you force him to drive by the speed limit, he doesn't know there's a speed limit. He thinks you get into a car and you drive. Reason number one why we don't do this today, not everyone wants to do what God says. So you have to influence and inspire, maybe they'll get to that level. Or Sameach. Everyone here heard of the Or Sameach? He was a very, very happy man. Why was he a happy man? Because Rav Meir Simcha Mitvinsk wrote a paper called Meshech Chochma on the Chumash. And he was about to publish it. And someone told him, listen, if you publish this book, this is the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th. If you publish this book, they're going to call you a maskil. Because the only thing you published was on Tanakh. That's for the maskilim. So I'll tell you what. Publish something that's lamdush. Tell me something on the Gemara, then I'll know you're a Talmid Chacham, and then publish the Meshech Chachma. So his name is Meshech Chachma, very smart man. That's exactly what he did. He published the Or Sameach, a parish on the Rambam. Everyone said, oh, this guy knows how to learn, a Gadol B'Yisrael. Then he published the Meshech Chachma, and he's not a maskil because he published this before that. Thus he was a happy man. The Or Sameach says, and I quote, Hadam Akinoto, Hu Mishum Shema Yikayem Et HaMitzvah V'Yetol Alulav Yaseh Sukkah. Aval Im Bari Lan Shal Yedei HaKazo Lo Yaseh HaMitzvah. If you know that a person really wants to come to the table and hear Kiddush, say, come to the table to hear Kiddush, and he gets up half dead, all right, I'm coming already. You know, this person deep down wants to hear Kiddush, but he's tired, he has his feet up. He has his slippers on. He doesn't want to come to hear Kiddush simply because he's more comfortable. But in general, he wants to hear Kiddush. But if you go to someone and you say, we're going to force you to hear Kiddush, and the answer is, what's Kiddush? You can't force that person because you don't know that the forcing will help. He still don't know what Kiddush is once he does it. This connects to what Bruce said earlier. Maybe he doesn't have the influence and the inspiration that's supposed to be on a Jew after you do a mitzvah. The answer is correct. This person doesn't know there's a mitzvah. Or Sameach says, basically, today, the only way you can force someone is if you know, deep down, that that person really wants to do mitzvahs. If not, which I believe is the majority of the people that refuse to do mitzvahs. The Maharshal, everyone heard of the Maharshal? Am I talking about someone people know? The Maharshal, who wrote the Yamshel Shlomo, we're talking about the end of the Rishonim period, 1510 to 1574. He basically was a contemporary of the Ramah. He didn't like what the Ramah did. That's for another share. The Maharshal says, and I quote, that the bottom line is, who can do this? Who can force someone? The Marshal says, who can beat up a person? Now we're not talking about the person. The Rambam and the Or Sameach talked about the person you're beating up. What does the Marshal talk about?
The beater.
The beater, the forcer. The forcer has to be someone that everyone respects. Namely, what?
Enforce.
Namely, someone that, if he came up to you and says, come with me to Mincha, he'll do it because he feels bad for that person. Now, how many people like that do you know? If you know people like that, great. But I'm not a person like that. People don't look at me and say, oh, if he's a Jew with a kippah, I want to be a Jew with a kippah. I aspire to be that way. I'm not so sure I'm there. I've davened on planes many times for no choice. I like to daven before or after, but sometimes you have no choice. Yet, I never had someone that says, oh, you look so holy. I want to do that. Never did that happen to me, as of yet. In general, when people daven on planes, the opposite happens. They can't stand the Jewish people. Look what they do. They block the aisles. They say Yehesh Me Rab on the top of their lungs, and thus every Rav. Today, I don't know one Rav that says, make a minyan on planes. I know many Rabbanim from all the sects of the Orthodox people, from anti-Zionists to over-Zionists, who say, don't daven on planes. Don't make a minyan, excuse me, on planes. So says the Marshal, let me just finish. Only someone that's a muflag and a dam chashuv, he can be the beater. He can be the enforcer. But stam a person says, what do you want? Every Tom, Dick, and Harry who likes to beat up people will say, I'm doing this in the name of the Torah, and he'll beat up people. So therefore, we don't have people like this today that, hey, if Rav X came to secular Jew Y and says, come to minyan, what is secular Jew Y going to say? I'll say it in Hebrew. Miata bichlal. Quoting the Maharshal. Who in God's... Are you a dumb muflag? I don't know who you are. No, I'm a great rabbi. They hold from me. Maybe they hold from you. I don't hold from you. I don't know who you are. Well, says the Maharshal. We don't got people like that today that they just say boo. Everyone says, all right, he said boo. We have to be scared.
What is no your way. Father?
I'm not talking now about a father forcing a son to do what's right. We're not talking about that today. We're talking about a regular guy who's waiting for a minion, not a father. No. We're not talking about that today. That's a totally different kettle of fish, chinuch. Sefer HaChinuch, we already said chinuch. Sefer HaChinuch, who is the author of the Sefer HaChinuch? Okay, let's see if you're awake. We don't know, thank you, Bruce. Sefer HaChinuch. He should have a lichtige Gan Eden, he should be in Gan Eden and eat honey. We love him because he wrote the Sefer HaChinuch, which is on every parsha of the mitzvot, 613 mitzvot. Beautiful book. What?
Didn't he write it for his son?
Yes. Klal gadol bechol haTorah. Lekol haomer sheyivatel mitzvah taseh, shekofin oto beit din, im yesh koach biyadam. What does the Sefer HaChinuch say? It's a mitzvah to force people to do mitzvahs. This is Gemara in Ksubos, this is Gemara in Yevamos, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, we just learned it. Who?
Beit Din.
A Beit Din that?
Has the power.
Has the power. Any Beit Din today have that power?
No.
Yeah. Reason number four, the Chazanish.
What about in a community like a Hasidic community where someone grows up in that community but goes...
Okay, so allow me to say like this. In a Hasidic close community, if the Beis Din has that power, then perhaps we can talk about what the Sefer, everything we spoke about. But I don't know if you recall a few years ago, a certain sect of the Hasidic movement, I won't say which, had a get refuser. So what they did was they took him to the cemetery, they beat him up, and they said, next time you're going to be laying here like all the rest. That was a non-kosher get. Why? Because these guys didn't go ahead and say, we got the power. They were paid off to do it. So you're paid to do it. You're not doing it for the sake of heaven. You're doing it because you're paid a lot of money to do it, okay? And from that perspective, it was not a kosher get. Now, they don't have the koach to do it. They were arrested. Now, koach to do it means the Beit Din comes up to someone, puts a rope around him, drags him into shul. The guy is dying to get out. He's cursing God, but you drag him into shul, you put a piece of tape on his mouth because he's cursing God. Minion's over, you let him go, and nothing happens to the person that did that. That's koach bi'adam. He's doing the right thing. Today, if that would happen, you'd get arrested. So therefore, this whole shear is not relevant for the majority of the world. If you happen to have a close community that it is, we'll talk. And finally, the Chazon Ish and the Maharitz Chayus basically say the same thing. This is the famous Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says, and I quote, we're no longer living in a world where people are inspired by the very nature around them to do mitzvot. Because once upon a time, you're in the Midbar, you have a beautiful Amud Anan during the day and Amud Esh at night. You have miracles every single day. If you don't want to be a Jew that does the right thing, that's terrible. But if you're living in a world where God is hidden, Akel Mistater, and you're living in a world where so many bad things happen to good people, says the Chazon Ish, all the halachos that talk about if someone goes down to a pit, you take away the ladder and you let him die, doesn't apply today. Ma'alin ve'en moridin, moridin ve'en ma'alin, says the Chazon Ish, en b'maseh roda degedar pitza lo safata pirza. What's going to happen? You take away the ladder. He's going to scream, yell, shout. He's going to come out of there. What? He's going to say, I should have done the right thing. I should have done mitzvahs. He'll go and say, the religious people, until now, I had no opinion about them. I just wasn't there. Now I hate them. So says the Chazon Ish, what you're going to do is make people hate Judaism even more. Because there isn't what we call a Gilui Shechina today that people would say, natural it is to be religious. Natural it is to do mitzvahs. What natural? Not natural at all. Not natural at all. And therefore, says the Chazon Ish, and it's a famous Chazon Ish, and with this I conclude, Va'aleinu lahachziram ba'avutot ahava, ve'lahamidam bekeren ora, b'mashi yadeinu magad. You have to bring them back with love, not with force. And you have to influence them with the light of the Torah, because we're no longer living in a world where naturally, like in the Midbar, it would be natural for me to do mitzvot. I see a Moshe Rabbeinu that was up in heaven for 40 days and 40 nights and he comes down, of course I'll do mitzvot. I don't need to be inspired, influenced. Of course I'll do mitzvot. And thus, says Bruce, in the Midbar, when they fractured one law, wow, did they get punished. Today, we're living in a world where many people fracture many laws. Some of my best friends speak Lashon Hara. Did you ever see them get a fire come down from heaven and kill them? Like Nadav and Avihu? No. Says the Chazon Ish, the whole reality changed. So to sum up, gentlemen, the Gemara is very explicit. You can force him. And what I said in that particular night, Friday night, was you can force him. The question is why we don't. And I gave four reasons based on the poskim why not. The Rambam says, very similar to the Ur HaSameach, because people today don't want to do the right thing. They don't have the right thing in mind, like with speeding. I don't want to speed, but I do it anyway. Rather, they say, speeding, good. So in this case, they don't want to do mitzvot. You're going to beat them up, they still don't want to do mitzvot. The Maharshal says, only Adam Muflag Bechokhma. The Sefer HaChinuch says, only a Beis Din that has that power. And the Chazon Ish says, the whole reality changed, that we have to influence and inspire. So Baruch Hashem, Kiruv organizations can continue. Outreach is still on the market. We shouldn't force people to do mitzvahs, because as you could see, we're no longer dealing with people like that. The only thing I leave you with is the following thought. So if we don't force people to do mitzvot, are we able just to sit back and relax?
No, we should try to influence.
Or if force is out, do we all have an obligation to influence at least one Jew to do one mitzvah? I leave you with that challenge. I wish everyone a good day.